What are we going to talk about today? Most of you won't remember this because it's about 70 years, 65, 70. I was preaching in a little town in Virginia. And that was the second job I'd ever had. But there were a lot of little congregations around the area, and then Tennessee was just across the line from Tennessee. And so we all knew one another. And the preacher in Bristol, Virginia, we were going to do something. But he must have known, in looking at my few books I had and stuff, and he said, I'm going to give you a book. And he gave me this little book. And it's called Sermon Outlines. And I really appreciated it. It was back in 626, and I don't know the other numeral got out of whack. So, it's sermon outlines on what young preachers like me need to know. And I've gone through this little book. I've not preached all of them. It's not really just a preaching thing. It gives you an outline, and it gives you the things of the Bible come up, but it's not all put out in detail. So you got to do a lot of work with it. But over the years, when I couldn't think of anything else I wanted to preach that Sunday or Wednesday night or whenever, I'd get this little book down, and I would. It was a lot of work. It's why I didn't do it most of the time, because I mean, you take 30 or 40 chapters and you got to really be on your ball when you got two other sermons to preach too in a class. But anyway, there's been a little sermon in it that has been since I've had the book. But I never could get myself. It's a beautiful sermon. And it's, I think, rightly needed. And you can tell me today when we get through if I'm still alive and you've not thrown stuff at me. But this little book, I kept coming back to it as when I couldn't think of anything else to preach, and I'd get halfway down and I'd say, no, this is too hard. So I'd put it aside. So finally, when your elder called me up this week and he said, would I preach, be able to? And I says, yes, I'll be able to do it. And my wife was saying, no, 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 no. Because she knew I didn't feel like it. We'd had two funerals and all the other things of the other week, and I was wore out. And our preacher was too. But I was looking at some old preaching sermons I had, and instead of getting a new one up, but I wasn't happy. I said, I've got to preach to these two elders, and they're both as smart as I could be. And Larry is just, he's so much knowledge that he's forgotten, and me too. But and our other elder, he just mean. I don't know, you know, what to do with him. But he's a good man. I love. I've changed numbers, so don't call. But the title is, What is Rightfully Expected of Me? I'm the me, and that's the title of the sermon. What's expected, rightly expected of me? And it has, what, one, two, three, four. It has four different sections. And the first one is, what is rightfully expected of me? What has God a right to expect of me? Don't you think God has a right to expect some things of us since we're His children? Don't you think He expects us to do a whole lot, not a little bit, but all we can? So that's the first one. What has the church a right to expect of me? The third one is, what has my family a right to expect of me? And the last one, what has the world a right to expect of me? Now, those are one, two, three, four. Those are, and I don't know if we'll be able to have time to get all of them tonight. But I said to myself about Wednesday, I said, I'm going to get that sermon if that's the last one I ever do. Because I have looked at it and started it and let it go, and then I'd come back and let it go. And you might find out it's not anything whatsoever. But we'll tackle the first one and see if we exist after that, okay? First one is, what is rightfully expected of me? And here it is. What has God a right to expect of me? Does God have a right to expect anything from us? Such as?
Being obedient children.
Okay. What? Worshiping?
Faith.
Faith. It's important that God has a right to expect certain things of us. We can't just say, okay, I'm a Christian, I've done all that, and I've gone into the baptistry, and I go most of the time on Sundays, and once in a while on Wednesday night I miss, and once in a while on Wednesday night I miss, and then, you know, but what is rightfully expected of me? And the first one is, and you've got your Bibles, is if everybody got a Bible, I've got a Bible that's so heavy I can hardly, it just pulls me forward, you know. Boy, I just can't carry that around anymore. But anyway, that's not our problem here. Me's the problem. What has God a right to expect of me? Number one, open ears. Don't you think God has a right to expect that our ears are open to Him? That whenever He calls us, whenever He needs things done and speaks to us through His Word, the Bible, it's important. It's needed then, in other words. Open ears. Listen. I wonder sometime if a lot of the members don't listen. They come. And I see most of them when I'm preaching, I see most of them are wide awake. Sometimes people will, you know. And I've never had the faith to say anything to anybody while I was preaching. Wake up there, Philly, you know. But I know some preachers have. And I guess that's the last time that guy came. But anyway. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 17, verse 7. Matthew chapter 17. Now that's in the New Testament, and that's very easy to find. I'll start you off with an easy one. Now, if you look at Matthew 17, let's just pick up and read a few verses here. Matthew 17, 1 through 8, number 1. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine, as the sun, and his raiment was as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses, Elias, taken with him, talking with him, rather, I'm sorry. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said this, This is my beloved Son, what? In whom I am well pleased. And what it finished with, Hear him. Now verse 6, And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. But now look in verse 7. This is the key one. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. Do you feel ever you're afraid with Jesus, with God? Do you ever feel like, maybe I haven't been doing all that I can and should? And it's something important, brethren. And I know we're busy. I sat in a room that I can study and do all that. In a preacher's office, at least for all morning, and go out and do visitation and stuff like that. But are we, as ones who are not preaching full time, does God have a right to expect of Maynard, open up your ears, hear me? Because sometimes we say, what? Lord, I've just got to get this job done. I've just got to watch this TV program. I've just got to see this game. And I see all of that, you know. I see people like that. And I'm not knocking those things. You understand me? I'm just simply saying that we need to keep our ears open. Now, what would you think, wise people, what would you think that involves in your hearing? Now, you know, you hear the family, you hear your mate, you hear the children, you hear where you're working and so forth and so on. Those things you're going to hear whether you want to or not. But do you feel like at the end of the day, Lord, I really haven't listened to you. I haven't thought about the Bible. I haven't thought about the church. I haven't thought about this of reading Scripture. You see where, am I going anywhere? Is this why I never had picked it up before to preach? It must be. Okay, let's move on. In Matthew 11:15, we read what? He that hath ears to hear, what? Let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's in verse 15 of 11, and you could read verses 7 through 19 and really get how that works in. But I'll let you do that. Okay, that's number one. God has a right to expect of me to open up my ears and to listen to the Scriptures. The second part is an honest heart. Look in Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, you okay? 8:15. we are told here. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Luke 8, verse 15. What does that mean to you? What are we being told there in Luke chapter 8, verse 15? He's talking about the good ground. There was something behind that, wasn't there? There was some bad ground, good ground, hard ground, and so forth. And here, God has a right to expect of me an honest heart. How do you feel about a lot of people that maybe they don't have honest hearts? Maybe they don't care. But brethren, that's something we need to keep working on. I think, maybe you don't, but be on that good ground, which is in an honest and good heart. Okay, flipping on over now, we're getting away from here. We're going over to the book of Romans. You know where that is, don't you? It's paced up Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Romans chapter 6. Pick up about verse 15. Slaves to righteousness. What then? Shall we sin? Because we're not under the law, but under grace. Paul says what? God forbid. God forbid that. Watch it. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves to servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But now look here, verse 17. This is the key one. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. How do you understand that verse? What is Paul writing here? But God be thanked that you are servants, that you were servants of sin, but now you've changed. Have you really worked on your life? Have you really helped it to grow? And hello? We have I think what I'm saying is we have a right to expect of me from God to do this. That he sees me obey and he sees me starting out as a new man or woman in Christ. What are they doing? Are they growing? Are they maturing today? Now, sometimes, sad to say, we'll obey the gospel, and for a few weeks, months, years, we will. I was preaching in Maryland at the church there where before we came here, and was really working with this man His wife was a member, but he wasn't. And I had talked to her and tried to, you know, do these things. But when I finally got him obeyed and coming and doing it, she left. Now, what in the world is that? Now, you may not believe this, but that's up to you. I believe it because I was there. But it was in a they had a house in a development there in Maryland, and they had a certain color of paint on the wall, outside walls. They were wooden houses. And for some reason or another, she wanted the gaudiest one that anybody had ever seen. And the people in that set of play things, they didn't want that. They said, no, we can't have that color. We want you to paint it one of these two or three or whatever it was colors. Nope. And so she left the church and he came in. I don't understand it. She was there and he wasn't, and they just reversed it. I wonder what silly things we get caught up in as children of God. Can you imagine Paul and other early Christians having a quarrel under a little place where they were living that it didn't meet the code or something like this or that? Did that bother them so much? And that woman never would speak to me again. Well, I didn't do it. I didn't tell them that. I said, well, I told him to paint your house something else. I didn't, you know, I didn't do that. And, don't know whatever happened to her, but I hope that she got back with the good Lord and did what she should have. It's silly about the things that we fuss over in church, isn't it? You ever think about that? You're looking at me, aren't you? You know? people say that. You know? Why don't you preach something we can understand? I don't know. Did you understand these? I didn't. Number five. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Luke 10:27. Now here it is, number five. What has God a right to expect of me on love? And this is the answer here that the Bible is talking to us, I think. But sometimes it's just not working. I don't know. Any thoughts or questions you have on that, please? I don't want to do all the talking by any means, but let me see what time we've got here. Oh, it's time to feed. I keep this clock way ahead. My wife, you know, she just looks at me and says, oh. The sixth one is, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Worship him. God has a right to expect of me to worship him. And you know, we can get through days and days and never think about what God is doing, what he wants of us to do. You believe that? Sometimes we can go 2 or 3 days without thinking about the church. or about this or that. What was it a week ago? The storm. That was on everybody's lip. Okay? This storm's coming. This storm is coming. It was here, then it was there, and then it was here, and then it was there. And people, I bought enough water, and everybody else did. Everybody's trying to sell their water. Boy, but it just, oh man, I don't know, brethren, I don't know. But God has a right to expect some worship out of me. And I wonder sometimes our worship, I'm getting to be a pain in the neck on this stuff. But I've just been talking to myself. I say, self, listen. I don't know. It's just me. But I don't know if we're really, really trying to get serious about the Bible. We let everything else make fun of it. People's jokes, people's lives. They just, I don't know. If I had it to do over again, I believe I'd make a lot of changes. And I probably wouldn't have a very big congregation, that's for sure. And that's all right. I'm not out to have 5,000 or 6,000 people in my where I'm preaching. That doesn't impress me. I just couldn't stand it. I couldn't take it. But you know, 100, 200, that's not bad. But I think we are not. How do I put this? We're not growing in the knowledge and worshiping God like we should, because it is so important in our, oh well, maybe we don't need to go with that. Okay, any questions so far? We just got 4 more hours to go and we'll all... Yeah.
I think you get my point. You have to commit yourself. Nobody else can do it.
Yeah.
You have to commit to the Lord. And it's out on the street, it's in your apartment, it's on the phone, wherever you are. You've got to be doing what's right.
Exactly. And
if you want to be in heaven, you better be doing it.
Yes. Now she scares me. Sure. Yes. We really need to.
And if you can't say right now, if I die this evening, I'm going to heaven, then you better do something about it.
Better get going.
Because you don't have tomorrow.
Very good. Did you hear this? Well, what are you going to do? This is serious business, brethren. It really is. And I don't know if we have got to that point where I was just thinking the other day, and you do it here, and we do it in Lake Forest and other places I've been, is when the men go back in the little room before church. And I don't mean to make any of you mad, because I've been guilty of it at times too. But I've been thinking a lot about this lately. Just a minute. And that is, when we go in there, and it's same at Lake Forest and others, Dean Road, I've been in all of them. We're more interested in the game yesterday or today, and I'm not against football or baseball or any other game, But it has a place, and we have a place. But we need, I think, we need to go into those rooms with serious looks on our face and what we're going to do. That we're going to observe the table here, we're going to do the singing, and we are going to hear the preacher and the report from the elders or whatever it may be. I guess you're saying, well, he's just getting to be an old fogey now. He's getting old. Maybe so. Maybe so. But it's important, brethren. I think sometimes we make too much fun of the Bible and of preaching and teaching. And we've got a lady at Lake Forest, sweetest thing in the world. And boy, can she teach a class. She can teach a class. And those little kids come out of there, and they're so happy they've got this in one hand, they've got that in another hand, and they're talking to mom or dad who's come to pick them up. She just puts her whole self into that. And I wish we could get more like that. I wish I could get more like that. Well, let's see. We've got four more things to go in a hurry. Well, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't such a great idea. But Lord willing, I'll be back tonight if it don't rain. What am I going to preach on tonight? It's a new one. I've never preached it before. Well, Joyce will find it. Thank you, brethren, for your report, and be safe going home. Yes.
You started out asking the question, does God have a right to expect worship?
Yeah.
And when you stop and think that he sent his son to die to buy the church, certainly he has the right to expect.
Sure.
We have this big furor in a country now about respect for the flag. Mm-hmm. For what the flag represents. It represents all of those who've given their lives to defend it. And so, and that makes it important. But it's just as important that Christ gave his life to die for the church.
Yeah.
And certainly he has the right to expect us to do that. And for us to sit back and say, well, I'm not going tonight. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Well, that's why that the second one would have been, what has the church a right to expect of me? I think the church has a lot of right to expect out of us. And what has my family? As I look back, and our family's grown and gone and everything else. But what has my family a right to expect of me? Dad, mom, children. I think it'd make a good sermon. Y'all want to stay? Well, I would, but I've got to go see this. Do we have a closing prayer? Do they? We'll have one. Father, thank you for this morning to come and study your word again and to be able to have time with one another. Forgive us of our sins. Help us to do better and make us able so we can be back tonight and preach again and to encourage each other. In Jesus' name, amen.